and gentlemen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show with guest host Susie Schuster from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The days of the dream team are never coming back. This national team is more decorated. The difference is everybody else has gotten better.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, senior NBA writer for The Ringer, Howard Beck, ESPN reporter Holly Rowe, CBS Sports NFL analyst Amy Trask, and now sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
That's right. Hi, everybody. Susie Schuster here with you to take over for Rich Eisen, who's taking a nice nap right around now. He's not afraid to tell you. Endoscopy day, guys. Endoscopy day. Time to get the inside of him checked out. Better him than me. And I'm here to be with you. I'm thrilled to be with you. The day after your birthday, TJ Jefferson and Christopher Brockman and Thelma Preza, wherever you are. Hi, guys. How are you? Happy birthday.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Great to
see
you. What's
Mikey
up?
Mikey D, how are you?
I'm doing well, Susie. I'm back.
He's back.
Were you gone?
You're like March 19th.
Was he gone for the better part of 2 months?
Well, I mean,
happy
guys,
birthday, boys.
It's not like I pay attention.
Thanks,
it's not like I pay attention. Come on.
Come on. You do pay attention.
I mean, sometimes I do.
I mean, every time,
but
I,
every so
every
often,
time I slip up, I get a text message about.
I hear a little something I don't like, maybe. But anyway, great to be with you guys. Training camp is officially going on strong. We've got lots to talk about again, which makes me happy. But before we do, let me just call attention to that birthday cake on your desk.
And
the question is, how many co-hosts would bring in a cake for you guys? See, this is what I'm talking about.
Rich actually forgot. At one point, he was like, oh, hey, it's your guys' birthday.
And we actually had a caller who asked, was he going to buy me and Chris lunch? And Rich was like, oh, okay, so I think the call just dropped. I don't hear
anything. Yeah.
Then he made like a joke about like doing something nice for us. And it's like,
no,
cool, I thought we were friends.
But yeah. I knew.
I can bring home the
bacon,
coming
in today,
fry it up in a pan, and bring a cake.
Because you're a woman.
That's what I have to say. Anyway, happy birthday, kids.
Thank you.
Good to see you again. Great guest today. Tom Pelissero will call in. We'll Zoom in shortly. My old compadre from ESPN and ABC, Holly Rowe.
Am I lighting this candle? What are we doing?
Do you want to light it up?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Did you mean to say
makes
old?
For great radio.
Susie?
Light it up. What, babe?
You meant to say long time companion.
Do you know what's so funny?
Not old companion.
We're cool. We embrace her age.
Okay.
We're good about it.
Yeah, Susie actually will tell her age, TJ, which is interesting.
I'm 50.
You're 50.
And I can kick and stretch, right? What if I'm 51? Crap. What? Does it still work?
I think
it still works.
Your body creaks.
Everything creaks. Anyway, happy birthday, boys.
Thanks. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great to see you.
So Holly Rowe will zoom in for us, as will Howard Beck in the second hour. And then in the third hour, Amy Trask is back, kids. Because it's almost time for What the Football, your favorite podcast. Catch wherever you find your podcast. Jim Nance, of course, is our first guest as we kick off the season coming up in the third week of August. He asked us if he could be our first guest.
Whoa.
And we naturally said, of course. And
is it
where
because
do I
you
send?
Promote his wine?
It's not only, no, it's probably because I sent him chocolate covered cranberries from Aunt Leia's on Nantucket as a gift. By the way, I've got my Belichick shirt on. I'm ready to go because let's go. The conversation I thought was funny was Kyle Shanahan talking on Tim Kawakami's podcast saying that he offered a job.
Right.
To Bill Belichick. Do we have that sound handy? Let's go with it.
I did. I threw it out to him. He loves football so much that you never know what he would. I can't believe that he's not a head coach of a team right now. I know what I would do if I was an owner. So that shocks me. And the last thing you want to do is insult someone like Bill Belichick. But I know he just loves ball in the simplest form. So I threw it all out to him, like whatever he'd want to
do. DC?
Yeah. I was like, would you be interested? And he was very nice and appreciative, but he politely turned me down, but I think he's helping out his son a little bit. I know he's involved in Washington up there and trying to start that help out with Jed Fish and what he's doing out there. And, you know, it could be good, too, because I'm sure he's going to be back in the league next year. And I don't know how, and I could be going against him. He could be in the NFC West, so it would have sucked if he came here and then he was going against us every week too. So that's stuff you got to be careful about. But I mean, he's the best, and I mean, just I just like talking to him.
I mean, poor Mike Hoskins. We were going to do that later on in the show, but then I just got carried away. But can you imagine having Bill Belichick be the consolation prize? Here, I'm going to give you a job, coach, just because I feel bad for you sitting on the
sidelines.
You know
what I think is super interesting about this? I'm psyched and I'm kind of pumped to see Bill on all the different shows this coming season. I think it's going to be really cool. He's going to be amazing, and I think everyone's going to really, you know, fall in love with the guy like they didn't expect to. But we talked to Tom was in last week, and he mentioned it, and you just heard what Kyle said. Everyone just assumes that Bill is going to be a head coach next year. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Everyone is just like, oh, and Bill's going to be back in the league, you know, in 2025, and we're going to be going again. Everyone just assumes that he's going to get a job. There were 8 openings just a few months ago, and nobody wanted him.
Nobody wanted him, and I'm going to tell you this right now. Number one, I think he really likes the TV gig. You watch. Yeah. This is going to be a great gig.
Oh, I think
for
so
him.
Too.
He's going to
totally
make a
agree.
Fortune. He's going to be feted and loved. People aren't going to be making fun of him for the hoodie and for the cutoff sweatshirts.
Oh, get ready. And
it's going to be amazing.
Look, I don't know if I'm reporting this, but I did hear from a source. Bill is going to be on social media. Bill's going to have Twitter. Yeah. Bill's going to have Instagram. And he's going to have, you know, it's probably like Brady, where he's got a few people helping him out. But he is going to be out there.
Who will be better on TV?
You are going to get a lot of Belichick.
Who will be better on TV, Belichick or Brady?
I think they're both going to be incredible. We're not even going to be able to. Look, it's going to be a topic every week. Who's doing better this? Who's doing better that? I'm sure someone will do kind of a countdown or a breakdown and charts and stuff. They're both going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Just
we'll ask,
get ready.
We'll ask Tom on the way out the door. We'll ask Amy as well if they think he will be back or not. But my gut is he's going to love it there. And then also, don't forget, life moves on. All these head
NFL
coaches.
NFL forgets about you quick.
Yeah, really fast. Yeah. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Yep, and I think that as we look at this, as we look at the coaches who are out there, we're going to have a conversation about the Cowboys. There's a coach in his last year. We're going to talk about the Tua situation. There's a young coach. Maybe he just finds himself so comfortable in the TV chair, looking at the harbor. Heck, he's not used to having time off in August. We're going to be on act soon. I'm going to reach out to Bill, see if he wants to grab a fried clam. But I mean, you know, but maybe he just liked it so much. He decides, I'm going to sit here in this perch and I'm going to rake in the money and enjoy the Nantucket sunset sometime.
I think I'd be shocked, TJ, if Bill doesn't come back. He's so close to the record, and it seems like that's important. Mm-hmm. But there, I mean, look, every year there are, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 head coaching openings, and he's going to be at the top of everyone's list. Bill is going to weirdly kind of loom over this whole season.
No doubt.
And it's going to be really interesting, especially when I'm not even trolling Dallas, but I'm just saying, if somebody like that or a certain team that you thought was going to be a contender this year, if they're 1-3, 2-4, 5, something like that, slow starts, you're just going to immediately start hearing the conversations.
Well, TJ,
they get in the Belichick sweepstakes.
We'll see what happens. But we thought that if he was going to go somewhere, we thought that your team would maybe get him. We thought that Jerry Jones would just open up the wallet and say, come on over here. He loves Bill Belichick. You've got a coach who's in his last year, and you've got CeeDee Lamb who didn't get on the flight to Oxnard. Doors are opening today. They don't expect him to be there. He's angry. He wants his Justin Jefferson contract. So what do you think's going to happen with CeeDee Lamb?
What I think is going to happen?
Yeah, what's going on there? And Micah Parsons has 2 years left?
Did you say that we all thought Belichick would be coach of the Cowboys? Are we in France all of a sudden? Who's this we?
Wow. All right, let's go.
I didn't expect that. And Brockman, earlier you said everyone expects him to be coaching next year. You, once a week, sit here and go, hey, when the Cowboys start to falter, Belichick's coming in. So I think you expect him to be coaching next year as well.
A literal head coach just said it. I'm just saying, it seemed everyone that's been coming on thinks that Devin McCourty said it yesterday. Mm-hmm. Tom said it last week, who, you know, has actual sources.
Yeah,
Kyle Shanahan literally spoke to him.
My source is Tom. So
yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, Devin McCourty yesterday sounded a little bristly about Bill still. He's still a little chafed, it sounded like.
But yeah, well, Bill's the reason Devin's getting into the Hall of Fame soon, so.
Shut your trap.
To answer your question, what do I feel?
Yes, please. Move on to Dallas? So we will sit here all day, devolve into bad New England accents, and it'll be all over.
New England accent we haven't had in 20
Shut
years.
Shut your trap. Yeah, but never had one. Shut your trap. All right.
There's a proverbial bag that we constantly speak about, and CD's going to get one of those bags. Why he hasn't gotten it already and why we're playing this waiting game, nobody knows.
But why are we doing this? This is ridiculous.
I don't understand.
Why piss off your receiver when the gates of training camp have just opened?
It makes no sense. And if people want to look at this through non-Dallas biased eyes, which a lot of people are biased, you will see how great CeeDee Lamb is. You know, I put him on a wide receiver one tier last year, and people like laughed at me. Look at what the man did. He had a record-breaking season. He's legitimately, you make the argument, Chris, he's the best wide receiver in football. You can make the argument.
No doubt.
If not, he's on a short list.
League-leading 135 receptions, 1,745 yards.
Yes.
Second best in the NFL, 14 touchdowns, 12 of them receiving first All-Pro honors.
I mean, come on.
He's sick.
So why is this man not paid yet? Who knows? We don't know. Ever since Rich came back and said that all-in phrase that we heard, that's been the story of the spring and the summer. None of us knows what it means.
CeeDee Lamb is brat. What does that mean?
Brat?
Yeah, what does that mean? Something the kids are saying.
B-R-A-T.
Yeah. Does anybody know what that means? I'm too old.
I'm very old.
Although you don't know how old, you know I'm too old to know what that
is. You're supposed to know everything like that.
Yeah, I do try to keep, as a color commentator, keep my ear to the street, but I don't know that one.
Here's the deal, TJ.
Here's
what's up, and it needs to be said, and I've said it before, so I'll say it now. Jerry Jones is the worst, greatest businessman ever. That's why. That's why nobody has their money yet. That's why. He's insane. He's playing like a weird game of chicken that no one can figure out. But like, you have the money, just pay these dudes so they're happy and they want to win you a Super Bowl.
I don't understand why he doesn't just pay out. That is the one question I will take with me for a long time. When you're sitting on this much money, and I understand there are caps, there's all sorts of weird things to do with numbers and money. But wouldn't you think that you've got this really shiny receiver?
Mm-hmm.
You got Dak coming up. You got Micah coming up in two. Dak's got to get paid. But won't you pay your shiny receiver first?
There's less pie.
Yeah, Jerry, there's less pie. Here's the deal. We all know when Jerry wants to keep a player, he pays the payer.
That's right.
We know he's going to get paid. Why are you costing yourself even more money by paying him late? That's the question. I've watched a bunch of shows this morning. People far smarter than me and far more knowledgeable are saying the same thing. Why? I don't know why. Nobody knows why. But he's going to get paid. And they're going to have to pay him more than they probably could have gotten away with paying him if they just paid him in a timely manner. Am I not right about this, Chris?
Yeah, we will have to ask Tom Pelissero about that.
I don't know if you guys can see this candle. It is like disintegrating in the last 4 minutes.
Why'd you light it so soon?
Well, I don't know, but we got to blow it out.
So blow it out. But don't blow all over the cake.
Yeah. Bad luck.
By the way, I want to give you guys a heads up because Chris was supposed to put it on social media yesterday, but he was too busy doing whatever it is that he does in the afternoon.
Burger draft.
Pet peeves, guys. Rich loves power rankings, correct?
He does now.
It took him a year
to come around.
But now he's become Mr.
Power Rankings.
Power Rankings. Mr. Top 5. Good list.
I think he saw how much fun I had doing it. He goes, this makes sense. And now we've taken it to the next level. And that's
amazing. Chris was supposed to put this out, people, but he doesn't listen to me, which is ridiculous because he should.
My bad, Chris. I could have done that. I saw the text. You just told me to do it.
It's fine.
I came up with a power ranking of my own that we will do later on in the day.
So we got Susie's power rankings later. And then call us with your pet peeves.
Yeah. Win-loss, you guys. I'm back. You know I love a win-loss.
Win-loss. Let's go.
But by the way, one of my pet peeves almost is what he just did. When people blow out a birthday cake candle... And then they breathe over the whole cake. It's disgusting.
But hold on. Well, you're blowing it out.
How do you do it? How do you blow out candles
just
without...
a quick puff.
A quick puff?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Same amount of germs in a puff.
Right.
Just a quick puff. Don't be gross.
There are less germs in a puff than a big puff, but still germs are flying everywhere.
Don't be gross.
Puff, puff.
I'm just saying.
But you know when people are like...
Did you realize you were about to become a meme?
Yes, I stopped.
Like mid-thought, you're like, that's going to be a meme gif. I need to stop.
As somebody who once asked a head coach if the Gatorade dump was the most gratifying dump they've ever had on national television.
Can we find that video somewhere?
No, we can't.
And then also think about like going to a kid's birthday party. It takes them like 3-4 minutes.
Oh, God.
So they're just blessed.
And they have every disease known to man running through their body.
You got to bring your own cake to a table.
Anyway, we're talking about football, guys. Can you guys focus, please?
Oh, sorry.
Focus.
God, you guys.
Focus.
What about Miami?
Do we have champagne? I found out what brat means, by the way, Susie.
Oh, we do have champagne.
All right, let's get some.
Oh, you guys don't need champagne.
Susie, I figured out brat.
Mikey, we always do. What's brat, babe?
Well, it says in brat, an icon, an embrace of authenticity and confidence in oneself.
So me.
Someone who is a brat is honest. They prioritize individuality and fun. Gen Z, blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, basically that's it.
Yeah, you're a brat. Sure. We have champagne in the back from a couple shows ago.
Champagne.
I think we have some champagne in the back, don't we?
Well, I'm not
commercial break. I'm just saying.
I'm not afraid of a party.
Yeah, I know you're not. All right, so guys, focus.
Focus.
Training camp is open.
Tom is coming up. Training camp is open.
Yeah.
Focus.
What's going to happen in Miami? Let's listen to Mike McDaniel because he had a soundbite that I want to break down with Tom. Can we roll that one, please?
Good to say.
The plan is something that I think you know. There's two parts to it. You know, I think it's important to acknowledge that Tua is in the midst of a contract negotiation. That's important to him and the football team. That being said, we communicate very well, and it's very fluid. We're taking it day by day today. I expect it to be kind of like OTAs, and we'll move on from there.
Can't wait to ask Tom. What does that mean, it's fluid?
What does that even mean?
What does that mean? He just looks like he wanted to be anywhere but right there answering that question. Did he not? I mean, it was like,
He looks like a dude that's just thinking, can we please pay this guy?
Just sign this guy.
So we can get this going.
He's the nicest guy in the world. Pay the guy.
Can we just do this?
It's another owner. You got a lot of money.
So much money.
How many boats can you water ski behind? Pay Tua. Should we start like paytua.com?
Well, I don't want to leave that site, TJ, because I have thoughts, but
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
I don't know if Brockman.
He's the first guy in NFL history to lose two playoff games in a season.
We have not even gotten to Drake Mayo yet. By the way, 844-204-RICH is the number to call. Watch us on Roku. We're on Roku. Hi, guys.
Drake Mayo apparently threw like a 50-yard bomb to Jalen Polk today. I'm so excited.
But now it's like, hey, he threw a 9-yard reception. He's the best quarterback ever. Right. Everyone's all giddy.
This is the greatest time of year. It's the best. So excited.
Everything's possible.
Because we all have hope.
Hope is the most dangerous drug there is, TJ.
Unless your team has the best wide receiver in football and he's decided not to come to training camp. Your hope has dwindled just a tiny bit.
We got hope with a dash of fentanyl right now. That's all we need.
Are you depressed day one? Is this Game of Thrones Cowboys edition?
No, I don't. Look, I have to keep up a certain level of enthusiasm for the job in the show, but like, am I personally depressed on week one of training? Day one? No. I'm not going to get depressed by this.
Week one, when he's not there, you'll be depressed.
Yeah, I'll be a little bit agitated, you know, if that are the case, but not now, no.
Let's make a wager now.
Susie, it is hot in Oxnard. I wouldn't want to go there either if I didn't have to.
Rich is going Saturday. He's going to do a little Oxnard training camp.
I know.
He said, do you want to go? And I was like, that's so funny. Let's take a break. When we come back, Tom Pelissero joins us. We ask him all these questions. We ask him, what does that mean, fluid in Miami? Could mean a lot of things. When we come back, Tom Pelissero from NFL Network. Can't wait to break it down with him.
We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of different sounds that you might hear. Drive too fast, and you could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing. The sound of ambulances and first responders desperately trying to free you from the wreckage. You could hear the beeps of a heart monitor. You could hear doctors and nurses in an emergency room as you're being treated for your injuries. You could hear the sound of worried family members in the hospital waiting room hoping to hear that you're okay. You could even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral. Because if you drive over the speed limit, whether by a lot or by a little, you could do damage that's beyond repair. You could seriously injure yourself, or worse, you could hurt and even kills someone else. When you speed, you put everyone on the road in danger. One way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA. Rich Eisen here for Sleep Number. They say opposites attract, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is the best bed for couples. I can confirm exactly that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference. You can choose what's right for you whenever you like. If you like a bed that feels firm, but they want soft, Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler, while they like to feel warm, Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's perfect for both of you only at a Sleep Number store. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
For you personally, you have an embarrassment of riches. You've got a beautiful family, a beautiful stadium. You're the guardian of the star. You've got a bust. You've got a Hall of Fame ring. You got a jacket. What you don't have is a fourth Lombardi trophy. How bad do you want it, Jerry Jones? How badly do you want this?
Well, Rich, like you said, you've been around for two decades now. Yes. And you haven't seen us raise that trophy. I did ask the man upstairs when I got the third one. I said, if you'll give me this one, I'll never ask again. Well, I'm asking. I'm trying to retrade that deal. And to the extent that he's listening to us, and I'm sure he is, I will do better. I've got some things that I can offer you to get that trophy. On the other hand, you know, that's why we're here. That's why I'm involved. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say and relate us to financial, but I was fortunate, lucky, and I had some resources, and I used it all to buy the Dallas Cowboys, every bit of it to buy the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm excited for this season, and on behalf of everyone in the NFL Network, greatly appreciate your support for our network, for all from Jump Street to now, and then just from me personally, I want to thank you. I truly appreciate it.
Rich, I've watched you handle Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders. Anybody that can keep them in their place deserves to be the star of the network.
Jerry, I really appreciate that. That means a ton. Best to your family, and good luck over this for the season. We appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.
You got it.
Thank
Jerry, you, Rich. You got it. Right back at you. Thank you. That's Jerry Jones here.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger's got the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Tom Pelissero joins us right now. Tom, good to see you. Are you relaxed and are you refreshed from your three-day travel across the country?
You know, we got, TJ and I got a lot of mileage because, you know, Del Tufo and Brockman didn't bother showing up for the Friday show. And what's up to my boys in the studio there? TJ and I got a lot of mileage out of, you know, like, what's the worst thing that can happen if we screw up in our jobs versus the guy who messes up one line of code and crashes the entire global economy? Little did I know that my flight from LAX to Minneapolis would be canceled Friday night, canceled again Saturday night. I'd be rerouted to Salt Lake City, where my connection was delayed 14 hours before that too was canceled, rebooked through San Francisco, knocked to standby while I was asleep in the lobby at the airport on a bench, rebooked through Portland. Thankfully, that flight was delayed, and I happened to look at the app and see that my bag was not on the plane. It was out in the lobby, outside security, at the baggage desk. I found the suitcase. People in line were cheering for me, like, hey, somebody got one. And I'm like, I don't have a flight, but I got the bag. I went to the Hertz counter, and about 26 hours later and 1,200 miles, I was home.
This is a total nightmare. I mean, that is a debacle of mythic proportions. So my follow-up question has to be, who was angrier, you or CeeDee Lamb right now?
I think I went through different periods, you know, all the stages of grief there. And listen, there's other people who had it way worse than me, looking at the 1,000 people who were in line, you know, trying to get vouchers and figure out where they were going. At least I was able to go, hey, I got my bag back. I'm going to drive. I don't think that CeeDee Lamb is angry. I haven't sensed that this is really contentious. I know that he was around the Dallas area this summer. People from the Cowboys saw him at various events. Like, this is business right now, and business is good if you're a top wide receiver in the NFL. CeeDee Lamb picked a good time to have an absolute monster season. He's now sitting there on the fifth year option on his contract, taking up a good chunk of cap space right now for the Cowboys. And Justin Jefferson just topped all the other receiver deals that got done and got 4 years and $140 million. That's 35 a year. That is so far beyond where the wide receiver market was just a couple of years ago. I mean, think about this, Susie. You go back just two off seasons when Tyreek got traded to Miami and Devontae Adams went to the Raiders. You know, Tyreek Hill, really, it's a $25 million a year deal. It's 30 on paper, but that includes a $45 million number in the last year. 25 is really the paper number. Devontae Adams, same thing. It's 28 on paper. It's really more like 22 and change. Justin Jefferson's got a legit 35. So you're talking about a two-year span, a more than 50% increase, or roughly 50% increase in the top of the wide receiver market. CeeDee Lamb's got the leverage here. You know, his worst case scenario is, okay, he comes back, he plays out this season, they tag him next year, he's got to play on the tag, and then the second year tag number would be borderline cost prohibitive. The Cowboys need to find a way to get something done. Their full intention is to get something done, but it's not surely about, you know, solely about the dollars here. You got to remember, you know, there's also the dynamics of what agents are involved, what teams are involved. Every team has different contract structures. Well, the Cowboys historically have done really long contract extensions. They've done five, in some case, 6 year extensions. Dak had all the leverage a few years back. He got a shorter deal, but most of their extensions are really long. Well, CeeDee's agent, Torrey Dandy, kind of invented the three-year wide receiver contract extension when he did Sammy Watkins years ago. And that's why, you know, DK got a three-year extension. Debo, I believe, was a three-year extension. So you're going to have to close the gap here, not just in terms of the money, but also the length, the structure of this contract. Those are all things that they're working through at a time that the Cowboys also are trying to figure out how they're going to get something done with Dak Prescott. And they've got Micah Parsons waiting in line, though that's probably a 2025 problem to solve.
I just don't understand, Tom Pelissero, why they wouldn't have wanted to get this sewn up so that he could get on the plane to Oxnard, which, of course, they don't have to. They can get there however they want to. But why wouldn't they, if it's an inevitability, why wouldn't they just want to get it sewn up ahead of time?
Dak also was not on the plane, by the way, but that's because he's been in California. He's meeting him out there in Oxnard. So not concerned at this point about any sort of holdout or anything for Dak Prescott. But you raise a great point, Susie, and we talked about this quite a bit going all the way back to March. Other teams would have been proactive and tried to get these done early. I mean, even the Vikings made a strong run at Justin Jefferson last summer after year three because they're figuring the market's going to go up. This is our best opportunity. Let's make a big push. They made Justin Jefferson a market-setting offer last summer. He didn't take it. And in the end, even though he got hurt last season, missed all that time with the hamstring, didn't put up the numbers that CeeDee Lamb did, he still ended up getting paid in a monster way because the Vikings are paying for not just one of the best receivers in the NFL, maybe the best, but the gritty, the face of the franchise. In fact, you're moving away from Kirk Cousins. You want J.J. McCarthy to come up playing with Justin Jefferson. CeeDee Lamb didn't get any sort of substantive negotiations prior to this offseason. Neither did Dak. Neither did Mike McCarthy. Neither is Micah Parsons. The Cowboys' organizational philosophy for several years now, even though they have been a draft and develop team as opposed to a free agent or trade leaning team in recent years, has been kick the can down the road. Don't make decisions. Don't do the big deals until you have to do them. Now, is that partly because of the scars of like the Jalen Smith deal where they did that one early? They kind of had to because he was a second round pick. He only had a 4 year rookie deal, but they did that one early. It was a long extension. And then that knee injury that he suffered with Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl caught up with him and he just wasn't the same player again. So is that in the back of people's minds, maybe? They did Trayvon Diggs last year early. He suffers a torn ACL. Those things shouldn't ultimately matter because you pay the best players. And if you won't, somebody else will. Modern medicine is too good. You don't worry about knee injuries and things like you used to. But, you know, CD has also been a healthy player, and he's coming off of his best season. You know, the playoff game obviously wasn't good for anybody, and CD, like a lot of guys in the Cowboys, were out of sorts, but he's going to get his money. It's a matter of when and from whom. You're absolutely right. A lot of teams would have made an offer, tried to get this done earlier, but that just is not how the Cowboys have tried to do business.
All right, from holding out to holding in, Brandon Ayuk, what are you hearing about him?
Brandon Ayuk is there. He is in San Francisco. We don't at this point know how much. I don't believe they've been on the practice field yet, exactly how much, if anything, he's going to do on the field. John Lynch said they expect, you know, all their players to be out there practicing. We'll see if that's the case for Ayuk. I think that, you know, this is a classic case where it's been a player-driven storyline throughout the course of this offseason. You had some of the rumblings got out back before the draft. The 49ers did get calls, but they're asking for a really high price, a high first-round pick or a first-round pick and something else. Nobody was willing to offer that at that point. Once the draft passed, there really wasn't any reason for the 49ers to consider trading the guy because 2025 draft picks don't help you try to win a Super Bowl in 2024. So then every other development we've had has been Ayuk recording a video with Jaden Daniels saying, hey, they don't want me here anymore. It's been Ayuk posting things on Instagram. It's been Ayuk requesting a trade. And the 49ers position really hasn't changed, which is you're a really important part of the team. We can't get anybody to replace you now. You're going to be on the team this season. They still want to work something out. There's a history of the 49ers getting deals done at the 11th hour right before the regular season begins. We'll see if it goes that direction with Brandon Ayuk, but you also have to look in the macro here, Susie, which is the 49ers have had a very expensive team in recent years because they've paid veterans, not just their own guys, but in free agency. You have the Brock Purdy's of the world coming up here as well. This is all part of the moving the pieces around on the chessboard here. It doesn't mean they can't get something done with Brandon Ayuk, but with where the receiver market is going, they've got their hands full trying to work that out before the season.
Tom Pelissero joining us here on The Rich Eisen Show. I'm Susie Schuster in for Rich. Let's move over to Miami. We just heard a soundbite from Mike McDaniel calling the situation with Tua in Miami fluid, and he looked like he wanted to be anywhere but there. How do you translate fluid down there?
I think Mike always kind of has that look on his face. There's a little distance there. Love Mike. He's a very unique character. He's pretty transparent on a lot of this type of stuff. And what he said, that this is fluid, is very much the way that I've understood it, which is that, you know, from day to day, is Tua going to do 7-on-7 only? Is he going to do 11-on-11? Is he going to do nothing? They don't really know. You know, during the spring, he missed a little bit of time. He was out there sometimes for 7-on-7. They've been trying to get a contract done. And this is not, you know, a situation where it's, well, are the Dolphins going to pay Tua? Why aren't they paying him? That always seems to be the reaction, whether you're hearing from his teammates, from fans. They're trying. They're just not in agreement on what that number has to be. It's absolutely going to begin with a 5. It's going to be $50 million plus per year. But at a time where Trevor Lawrence just matched Joe Burrow at 55, are they going to go above that? Is it going to get done below that? You also have a situation where the same agency represents all these quarterbacks that we've been talking about. They represent Athletes First represents Tua. They represent Jordan Love. They represent Dak Prescott. Different agents on each of those deals. But, you know, teams can't collude. Agents absolutely can communicate on some of these things. And so all these situations are at least to some degree tied together. I would think that, you know, in all likelihood, the next one to get done would be Jordan Love, just because it seems like things are a little bit on a better page right now. But that's not to say that something won't get done in Miami with Tua either. You know, at some point, he's got to weigh out the best offer the Dolphins are going to make him versus the possibility of a guy with his medical history, his concussion history, playing out the last year of his rookie deal, and then in all likelihood getting franchise tagged in March anyway. I mean, these are, again, this is the business time of year, even though we're coming back into training camp. I honestly, Susie, can't remember. Somebody asked me this the other day. I don't really remember quarterbacks pulling the hold in. The hold in is more of a recent thing over the last decade anyway, but we generally see it at other positions. Everything's different when you're talking about taking your quarterback off the field. So to the extent that you're watching guys who are not as good of a player as Tua, not as good of a player as Jordan Love, that helps the player's leverage. And as long as teams are not going to fine the player for missing time or willing to forgive any fines if and when they get a long-term contract done, these guys can afford to wait up until the point where maybe the player feels like he's missing out on the reps.
You brought him up. What are you hearing about Jordan Love?
I would say that there's ongoing conversations, there's ongoing negotiations between the Packers and Jordan Love. I don't get the sense that we're that far off from being able to get to a deal. But as of last night, I didn't get the sense that anything was imminent on that front either. I mean, I would be very surprised if Jordan Love isn't the highest paid quarterback in NFL history by the time that he sets foot back on the practice field. Everybody's been very upfront. Brian Gutekunst, who is very good at not being transparent on a lot of things, said at the podium the other day, I mean, he's our franchise quarterback. He thinks that they're close at this point to getting a deal done. But as everybody knows who cover these negotiations, you know, it's like a Yoda line. There is no close. There is only done. And we're not yet done in Green Bay. I do anticipate that's something that gets done in the not too distant future.
What's the best Star Wars, Tom?
You know, I've got Brockman, as you know, some holes in my movie watching.
I know, definitely you did just seen, quote Yoda, so I assume that you've seen them.
I've seen the original three Star Wars, okay. But not in a long time. I don't think I've seen any of the other. How many more are there? Six between prequels 13, and sequels? I think.
Yeah, well, okay. Six actual Star Wars movies and then all the spinoffs and whatnot.
You only need to first.
I ran out about episode one, I think. I was like, I'm good. I'm good on the rest of the series here. I'll say The Empire Strikes Back. How about that? Well done.
I like the one with Baby Yoda. What was that one?
But that's Mandalorian.
I like that.
But it's not Baby Yoda. It's not actually, yeah.
It's all the same to
child.
No, yeah. I like The Mandalorian.
I got it.
The rest of them, like, Tom, honestly, until you have to sit there with your kids, that's Rich's bailiwick. Like, he'll watch all of those. I tend to leave the room during all the other remakes. But Return of the Jedi. He likes Empire Strikes Back. Perfect. Was I going to ask you about Aaron Rodgers? But, I mean, like, I'm sorry. I'm getting now very distracted. You saw that he came into practice yesterday wearing an Egypt-inspired T-shirt because he really likes to be cryptic. It's like it kind of reminds me of the Phil Jackson soul patch, but that's a whole nother conversation. What are you hearing about Aaron Rodgers?
Back in the day, it was a nice little. I just like the only thing I can consistently grow is this right here.
And he loved to read The Power of Now. It was very moody with the Lakers back then, but that's a whole different conversation, one that should be discussed over drinks. What are you hearing about Aaron Rodgers? And then we'll talk about Hassan Reddick after that.
Aaron kind of is the new Zen master. I like that. I like that comparison. I mean, I think that Rodgers, you know, at this point, Aaron kind of, it feels like his entire life is trolling everybody who's not in his inner circle, which is a very small inner circle. So not ever speaking on exactly where he was, but then wearing an Egyptian shirt to the team facility, I'd say is basically par for the course. I haven't seen, it doesn't look like he's talked to the media at large yet. He was out on the practice field, saw the red zone, was a little bumpy 2-7 passing in that today. It's the early stages of camp. Jets have a really good defense. Usually the defense is ahead of the offense. But, you know, to go back to minicamp and not being there, it's exactly days like this that people are going to take those little pot shots in print or on TV or whatever and talk about, well, making up for lost time. This is, you know, is it ultimately going to impact him in the season? I really don't think so. But it does impact just the way that everything is framed as we head into training camp here. This should be a really good, Jets defense. The offense has a lot of weapons. They need time to coalesce. But, you know, I happen to believe Garrett Wilson. I was at the game in Cleveland where he had a breakout type of performance going back where he played at Ohio State and was unbelievable in that game. This is a couple of seasons ago. You watch a performance like that, regardless of who the quarterback was, and I think it was Flacco took over in that game against the Browns. But you look at a guy like that, if Aaron Rodgers is out there, Garrett Wilson's going to take off the season. Aaron Rodgers being out there is going to open things up for Breece Hall. And Breece Hall in the running game for the Jets should take some things off of Aaron Rodgers' shoulders. The key in everything is going to be health. They invested in the offensive line. Rodgers, after what happened last year, playing four snaps and getting hit on two of them, is going to have to adjust his play style to a certain degree. He can't be the guy who's holding the ball and dancing around in the pocket and taking those hits, because guess what? He's 39, going on 40 years old. You just can't do that at that age, especially a guy who's had, you know, not just the Achilles last year, but he's had Friday calf injuries. He's had multiple broken collarbones through the course of his career. You can't take those chances. They got a better backup quarterback than they did last time around. They brought in Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod is, and I don't know his record off the top of my head, but he's basically a 500 type quarterback in his career. He got the Bills to the playoffs back in 2017. So at least you have a fallback option. But if Aaron Rodgers goes down, the whole thing's over, Susie. Like, let's just be honest about it. If he goes down in week three, you're not running the table with Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod's there if Rodgers suffers a 2-week injury or a 4-week injury to keep this thing on the track. There's a lot of pressure on the Jets, but there's not as much pressure as a year ago, because everything they've done up until the minicamp absence wasn't this public spectacle like it was last year with the trade and with Hard Knocks and him coming in and whipping the crowd into a frenzy here. They're, as much as a team with Aaron Rodgers in New York can be under the radar, they're like a little bit under the radar. But the moment they set foot on the field Monday night in week one against the 49ers, none of that stuff matters. And if they start 0-1 before a national audience, it's going to be exactly the pressure cooker that the Jets are always in.
All right. First of all, low key, low grade. I've never known a player to think he's trolling others when he's getting trolled at the same time. Like, I can't get over that. That's number one. Number two, do you think I'm crazy? Don't answer that. But don't you think that everyone's going to watch every single Aaron Rodgers game waiting to see whether he gets hurt? I feel like that might be the undercurrent of the season in a really weird way.
Well, I think that that's definitely part of it. I think people are going to be watching Aaron Rodgers for a lot of different reasons. Aaron Rodgers is on that short list of players in the NFL right now who I feel like everyone has an opinion about him. And in a lot of cases, you know, fair or not, it's a negative opinion just because of, you know, things that he's said in the past, because he's kind of got, again, from the outside looking in, a lot of people think, you know, he's got a lot of diva to him at this point and he's kind of on his own program and he's selfish and all that. Like, I've known Aaron to the extent that anybody can know him. Going back to 2007, when I started out the Green Bay Press Gazette, I've always found him to be a really intelligent, thoughtful guy who can explain things in football and life in unique ways. And when you really kind of peel back the layers and he's comfortable with you, you know, you learn a lot talking to Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, I think a lot of Aaron as a player, obviously a four-time MVP winner, he's a future Hall of Famer, and as a person. But, you know, people are going to have opinions about him. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And again, Aaron has been, he's been very tough throughout the course of his career, but that play style, that extending the plays inside and outside the pocket and taking hits and throwing off his back foot, he's going to have to rein some of that in. I know it's human nature. In the big moments in the fourth quarter, sure, try to make those throws. But first series against San Francisco, when you got Nick Bosa and Javon Hargrave and Fred Warner all coming after you. I mean, if I'm the new, remember, they got a new staff out there in San Francisco on defense. If I'm Nick Sorensen and Brandon Staley, Kyle Shanahan, like, I'm dealing up blitz after blitz right out of the gate just to see, can this guy move? What's he going to do when we bring the pressure to him? That's historically been a dangerous thing to do with Aaron Rodgers, because when he needs to get rid of the ball quickly, he's got this remarkable ability to see the field. He's got that really quick release that he honed over years working with Mike McCarthy in the Packers quarterback school here. But I'm heating him up. And to exactly to your point, Susie, forget the fans for a second here. If I'm other teams, I want to see, how is this guy going to play? Is he going to be able to play? Not trying to hurt him, but let's force him into some spots where he's got business decisions that he has to make and see if he's still making the same decisions we saw in Force and Apps last season.
I have time for one last question, so I'll ask you two. Hassan Reddick, will this get solved fast, yes or no?
I don't think fast, because I don't believe, based on the Jets' recent history, I don't think that they're going to negotiate with a guy who's not there. It's a really weird situation. I don't remember a whole lot of situations like this, because usually when you trade for a player, the guy comes in and takes a physical, and that's basically the player accepting the trade. You know, there were conversations about a new contract prior to the trade with Philadelphia. That did not end up getting done. Now Reddick's saying, well, I still want a new deal. The Jets are saying, well, you're not going to get a new deal if you're not here. Right? Saying, well, I'm not showing up without the new deal. And so you got some odd back and forth again. There's going to be, this is one of those things where, Susie, now that we've got football and all 32 teams will be practicing by tomorrow, and we got a million other storylines, we probably won't talk a ton about Hassan Reddick, but it's definitely a different type of a scenario here. That the most logical thing to do would be you tack on some incentives or something, some type of upside onto the end of the contract just to get him back in. You know, the closest comp, it's not, you know, exactly right, but like the closest comp I can think of is last year. The Vikings had adjusted Danielle Hunter's contract in 2022, moved money up, so he had a really low number on the books in 2023. And in order to get him into camp and resolve the situation, they gave him a raise in 23 and a no franchise tag clause. Again, I'm not saying that's what they're going to do with Reddick. He's on the books for like triple what Hunter was. But maybe there's some type of a scenario there where they can make some concessions that don't involve a long-term extension or a ton more money this season, at least make him happy for this year. And then, hey, play your way into a new deal in 2025.
Tom, you're the greatest. Thanks again for your time. You want to say happy birthday to the boys? It was yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thanks, yeah. Tommy.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. You know, how was your wedding, Brockman? Good? Relaxing? Did you make it back in time?
I miraculously made it back Sunday night, but it was a 14-hour day.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you.
I don't think there was anything like the sight of me and Tom Pelissero rolling through the streets of Englewood with the top down all last week. It was like, if you saw us, I think you knew it was something special.
Oh, yeah, that was brash.
Wind blowing through my hair.
And it didn't move, man.
Don't make Rich jealous.
I should have stayed. You should have stayed. You could have. It would have been a good business decision for me.
Right? You could have just hung out here in the hotel down the street and skipped all that airport madness. See, you'll think better next time. But Susie said who was madder. I think it was your wife. She was probably the most mad, right?
She was at a girls' weekend, and my dad had the kids while we were having open houses on our house. So, yeah, that's what I missed out on over the weekend. Dad was supposed to be here, meaning me. Didn't work out that way. And now I'm taking off on Friday for a 2-week, 12-day, 12-team camp trip, assuming that the airplanes can get off the ground. So that's I'm cool. winning big, Susie.
And she's getting ready to murder you. Go buy her a really, really big thing of flowers. Thanks again for your time. Tom. Appreciate it.
Later, buddy.
Let's take a break. When we come back, win-loss time, guys, because you know I love win-loss. Let's take a win-loss when we get back, because I'm going to get them all in today. You know how I feel about emptying the phone banks.
It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe. That's B-L-E-A-V podcast, wherever you listen.
First one up, Herm Edwards on October 30th, 2002, after a Week 8 loss to the Cleveland Browns.
Ooh.
Here is play to win the game, as told by Victor Newman.
This is great about sports. This is what's the greatest thing about sports, is you play to win. Hello? You play to win the damn game, right? You don't play just to play it. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, get your ass out of here, then retire. Because it matters.
Well done. That's number one. Next up, on October 16th, 2006, after the Cardinals blew a 20-point lead against the Bears on Monday Night Football.
Oh, man.
Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were, as portrayed by Victor Newman.
Bears are who we thought they were, you know? That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the damn hook.
Very good. Very well done. All right, last one for you.
I can feel it. I can feel it.
I'm glad that we got it rolling, because here's the last one.
I can feel it.
On May 7th, 2002... the famed practice press conference of one Allen Iverson, as recounted by the man who plays Victor Newman, Eric Braeden. Hit it.
I mean, listen, man. You're talking about practice, okay? Not a game. It's not a game. Not a game, all right? Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. I know it's important. Yeah, I do. I honestly do. But we're talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice. You're talking about practice, man.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to call. Hi, everybody there on Roku. We will play win-loss until we go off the air. And you know how I feel about emptying the phone bank. So, like, I love this. Win-loss. Call in. I will take those calls. BJ in Birmingham, Alabama, Birmingham. Broncos, yeah. Win-loss. Let's go. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Suze. How are you?
I'm so great. How are you?
Lovely to fellas. Happy birthday, or happy belated to TJ and Brockman.
Thanks, brother.
And welcome back, Mikey D.
Hey, my Birmingham brother. I go down there all the time for the UFO. I love Birmingham.
He's been there once.
No?
Mike, you don't even know what state Birmingham is.
Alabama, you Arkansas.
Seriously,
you
guys stop. He's constantly traveling. I mean, it's just, he's never here. But
I wanted to get win-loss in for my vaunted Broncos.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go. Ready to go? Ready to go? September 8th at Seattle. Let's go.
I'm ready. Seattle, I'm afraid we start off with a loss.
Wow, rough. At the home for the Steelers.
Oh, as much as I would love it, I'm afraid Pittsburgh's going to escape with a loss.
Oh, this
they're going to win.
This is starting great. They're going to win at Tampa Bay?
I'll lead the witness.
As much as I'd want to, I'm afraid Bucs will take that one.
This is a rough start.
Uh-oh.
You're so excited for the season, and yet this is a terrible start. At the Jets.
Hey, Suze.
Yeah, babe.
I'm a realist.
I hear you. I'm a Patriots fan. I mean, my God, it's going to be dark. All right, at New York Jets.
Oh, apologies to the Hate Nate group, but I'm afraid New York's going to take another one this year.
No way, really? All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, home for the Raiders.
Close one. Nobody beats the Raiders after 10 consecutive games. I'm afraid they're going to lose that one, too.
This is great. Chargers.
0-5.
Jim Harbaugh.
This is where I hope that the Bo Nix reign starts. I'm afraid he's going to come in the second half and not quite close the deal. They will lose that one to the Chargers at home.
Okay, we're going to have to go rapid fire. Ready? At Saints.
Saints will be their first win and establish the dominance over the NFC South.
Okay, you're going to have to go really fast now. Panthers at home.
Carolina will be a win.
Ravens at Baltimore.
The diminisher will wield his power. They will lose.
At Kansas City.
2-8.
Well, at least we're not playing in December in Arrowhead, but they will lose that one.
We got to go faster.
Falcons.
Faster, BJ.
Falcons will take a win at home.
Raiders on the road.
Lost to Vegas.
Home for Cleveland, Monday night.
That'll be a loss on Monday night.
Colts at home.
Colts will take a win.
Wow. At Chargers.
Chargers will be a loss.
Okay. At the Bengals. At the Bengals.
Bengals will be a loss.
Okay. And home for the Chiefs.
Not that it'll matter, but KC will be resting. Denver will take the last game for the win.
Okay. BJ, thanks again for your call, and we will take all of these calls throughout the entire 2 hours ahead of us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Do not go anywhere.
Poor. All right, so what was BJ?
Can you count those up?
Because,
one, two,
sometimes
three,
he would say they'll take
four, five,
the win,
six.
But I wasn't sure if he... I got very...
What do you got, Suze?
I got 12...
Losses?
12 losses.
So 5 and 12.
I have to do the math.
5 and 12. BJ.
5 and 12.
BJ and Burma.
See, I only got 4 wins out of that. That was weird. I missed that one.
No, I think I did it right. But then again, you know, math has never been my forte.
That's the thing. None of us can count.
Such a bad group.
What was your major in college, Sis?
History and art history. No math requirement. You're welcome.
History and art history.
Yeah,
you know,
double.
I'm not getting enough old stuff. I need double the old
Let
stuff.
Let me have as much art old stuff as possible.
As much as old stuff.
As long as there are no numbers.
Art on my history.
Oh, I don't, I mean, I can't do Taylor's math. She's 10. And she's like, Mom, that's not how you do it.
That is the one thing I'm not looking forward to as Cage ages, is just like my inability to do his homework. Because they've changed the way they teach math and stuff.
Oh, they
now,
were
right?
Singapore math. Yeah, now that's done. It's all crap. Math is the worst. I'm terrible at it. I don't do any numbers. I remember phone numbers from like when I was like 8.
What was one of your phone numbers back in the day at the house?
508-993-0504.
Look at you.
Right?
We had a good one for me.
Nothing else. Howard Beck coming up, Holly Rowe coming up, Amy Trask. It's a very, very full Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? It is.
I think so. I don't know.
B- Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast.
Season 4, I'm glad that it's over.
I'm glad that it's over. As we know now that season 5 is supposed to be one of our better seasons.
Obviously, the tattoo storyline, you know how I feel about that.
You hating that storyline brought me a lot of joy because I kept waiting to see how it was going to keep going and then how they would somehow settle it.
Binge seasons 1 through 4 of Talkville before season 5 begins, wherever you listen.